You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show today, Megan Kling is going to be joining us after the 9:30 news. Megan had a complication in her pregnancy and subsequently had to travel out of state when that 1849 measure was still here in place in Wisconsin. That's no longer the case. But she had to travel out of state in order to get the health care that she needed. And her experience has been recorded in the Journal Sentinel, the Wisconsin Examiner, the New York Times. So we're going to be talking to Megan Kling about her experience and why she has come forward to talk about this. Mm-hmm. It's very important.
Yes.
And very brave. Of her.
Yes,
it's absolutely. Very brave of her. So we're going to talk to Megan Kling after the 9:30 news in hour number two. Don't worry about us deporting all the people who are picking fruit and vegetables in our fields. And don't worry about all the people who are doing work that it seems like a whole lot of Americans don't want to do. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins has got the answer, Greg.
Oh, I'm sure it's a nuanced, well thought out response and solution.
There are 34 million people on Medicaid.
Are they able-bodied?
Apparently so. All and right. Brooke's got the plan for them, so we'll kick that around in hour number two.
Can't wait.
Also, shoes and flying. Some new news about shoes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll touch on that briefly next hour. And, of course, for the last half an hour of the show, we lighten things up with audio sorbet. Today's burning question, do you pajama?
Do you pajama?
Do you pajama?
Do you say pajama or do you say pajama?
That too.
There you are.
Do you pajama? Do you wear pajamas? If not, what do you wear? That's coming up for audio sorbet after 10:30. And we will wrap up the show with Tisbet, also known as This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Is a rose by any other name really still a rose? That's coming up at the end of the show around 10:51, so I hope you can stick around for that. I did want to start off with this mention from the horrible news out of Texas continues. The death toll continues to rise. Texas flooding now has killed more than 110 people, and there are over 160 who are still missing. And I also saw footage this morning from New Mexico, which also just had a big flash flood that came through and wiped a whole bunch of houses away. If you would like to do something, and I know there are a lot of people who want to do something to help, they are please asking people to stay away from that area.
Yes.
It makes it very difficult when you have groups that are not aligned with other groups to find out who's covering what and things like that. And the last thing they want to have to do is go rescue someone who's trying to do a good thing.
Yeah.
So they're asking, please don't come to the area unless you are signed up with a specific rescue group. And the other thing I saw yesterday, people are flying drones over the area. They're personal drones. And a drone yesterday hit a rescue helicopter.
Yes. I mean,
can we not do this and let these folks do their jobs? That's all I'm saying.
I know. But I don't know why we're shocked. Why are you shocked by this?
Well, I would like to think that they're trying, you know, some of these people have their hearts in the right place and they think that they can help and maybe find someone that has been missed so far. Mm-hmm. But I also think that there are others whose motivations are not necessarily quite so pure.
Well, yeah. And that's why the latter portion of that sentence is why I'm not shocked.
Yeah, I guess. But anyway, if you would like to do something, I would suggest the Red Cross.
Mm-hmm.
I would also suggest World Central Kitchen. If you're not familiar with World Central Kitchen, they're a charity that goes all over the world to disaster areas and feeds people.
Yeah.
Headed up by Chef
Jose Andres.
Jose Andres. Yes. So World Central Kitchen is also another good place to make a donation. or you can donate blood. It doesn't seem like I'm donating blood in Wisconsin. What difference does that make? It makes a difference.
It makes a huge difference just because, I mean, it everywhere needs it. And
yeah, everywhere needs it.
And it's just always, it's a good thing just to do. And I'm, if you've listened to the show before, you've heard me say this, but I'm going to repeat it because it bears repeating all the time. If every single available person, if every person who is able to give blood gave once a year, there would never be a shortage. Period. Done.
So please consider those three things. We will include links in our show notes if you would like to follow up and make a donation and try and help after that horrific flooding in Texas. Bringing things back a little bit closer to home, Derek Van Orden's in the news.
Why? What did he do this time?
He is in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Lawrence Andrea. Derek Van Orden claims credit for Wisconsin's extra Medicaid dollars after voting to cut the program.
Yeah.
I don't know that we're even surprised by this anymore.
I saw this story come up over the weekend, and it was a kind of, it was one of those things where you shrugged your shoulders and said, of course.
Of course he did.
Because what we have seen in the past, and I will use another Wisconsin congressman to as an example, Congressman Tom Tiffany.
Yes.
Infrastructure repair bill came out.
Under the Biden administration.
Under the Biden administration, which has brought jobs and projects and money and economic relief. You don't have to believe me. I believe the economists, and they're smarter than the words that you have if you don't, if you think I'm wrong. So whatever. Tom Tiffany voted against that. He voted no for it. Of course he did. It's bad spending. Tom Tiffany, no. Who was at the Blotnick Bridge standing next to Tammy Baldwin who voted yes?
Tom Tiffany.
It was Tom Tiffany.
It was, yeah.
And we see examples of like of this all the time. It's been I mean, it's been happening for a long time, but it goes back to, you can, there are examples from the Obama administration when they did the rescue bill. Paul Ryan, another congressman from Wisconsin, who said no. This is overspending. Don't like it. Requested $30 million for his district, even though he voted no. Hmm. Said no to it, but can I have some money, please?
Would you mind, please?
So we are right back where we always are with someone, in this case, Derek Van Orden, who is a liar and a hypocrite. And I say for me, this is a traitor, period. He has the gall to stand up and say, first of all, that SNAP benefits won't go down a nickel. His words, they won't go down a nickel. Votes for the budget blueprint, votes for the budget bill, and then finally does the final vote after the Senate went through. This will have detrimental effect on SNAP, Medicaid, Medicare. He grew up a poor kid. He said so.
Yes.
Grew up a poor kid on food stamps, government cheese, and he voted against the interests of the people who need this, who need these programs. And now he has the nerve to stand up and call Tony Evers and say, you need to protect these rural hospitals.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have a bigger example of what I'm not going to say it in the air.
Good.
This is just shameful and disgusting. And who does he think he is? I mean, honestly.
Well, obviously, he thinks this works for him, or he wouldn't do things like this. And that's why I think it's important to kind of point out these little things that people are aware. And again, we're a small company. We're a new company.
Yeah.
We ask you, if you feel like you learn something from listening to our network, that you share what you know.
Yeah. Yes.
Because again, there's a lot of options out there for people to get their information from. Mm-hmm. And not everyone is going to hear this.
And if you have somebody in your life who's saying how great he is, or how great the Trump administration is, or whatever their defense of the current White House is, ask the simple question. If Derek Van Orden was so concerned about SNAP benefits staying intact for those who need it, why did he, and if he's so concerned about rural hospitals staying open and available to the people, which they should,
yep,
why did he vote for a bill that fundamentally, directly affected these things for the worse, for the people? Why did he do that? And you let them answer. And I'm sure they'll have an answer. And I'm sure they'll blame it on Hunter Biden's laptop. But really, when it comes down to it, you ask that question, and I want the answer, because there is no 2 + 2 = 4 to this. This is just absolute insanity.
Derek Van Orden, again from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, voted for the federal measure that caused tens of thousands of Wisconsinites to lose Medicaid coverage, and now he wants to take credit for getting Medicaid funding through the state budget. Derek Van Orden says he helped secure $1 billion in Medicaid funding for Wisconsin and suggested Governor Evers signed the budget, quote, because I asked him personally, unquote. Evers' office, by the way, says Van Orden had nothing to do with Wisconsin's efforts to secure Medicaid funding ahead of the enactment of the bill. Van Orden supported the measure slashing federal Medicaid funds.
Yep.
So that's kind of where we are.
Yep.
855-752-4842 if you would like to join us. Jean from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Jean. Thanks for joining us.
Outstanding job, guys. I strongly suggest anybody who's listening right now, please share this with your friends, this show. You guys do an outstanding job. People can listen to it out on the farm. They can listen to it when they're jogging if they don't sit and listen to the radio, but they need to listen to this Civic Media channel. Now, I have to tell you guys, you are outstanding because guess what? The whole goddamn time that this was going on, it's an 8+ channel. It's from La Crosse area. And they always were running stuff on the bottom of what Van Orden says. And this was, the thing was Evers. My local TV stations don't get out and check him out.
Right.
And they put him on the channel saying what he did or did not do. And he acted, and there was even a big paid ad with him standing next to Donald Trump with a flag going behind him during this time when they were making these decisions and him lying about this bill. So thank you guys, because you are number one important in getting the word out to the people on our side, the state, because we need you badly and people need this information, and share with your friends because the guy's lying through his teeth and god darn it, we got to stop him. Thanks guys. Keep it up. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Jean. Really appreciate it. And be like Jean. Jean calls her lawmakers.
Yep. And how, Jane, how would they go ahead and do
if
something
I
like
were
that?
So inclined to leave a polite questioning voice message, mm-hmm. all I have to do is go to myvote.wi.gov and put in my address, and every person who represents you in the government and their contact information will come up right there.
Yeah.
So easy.
I'm just at the point, Jane. This is a topic for me, like when it comes to this man. I'm at my wit's end with him. I am ashamed of him. I am disappointed in him. And it makes me angry that people in Wisconsin felt like he was the right choice for their district.
Well,
because he's not standing up for them.
We got an election coming up next year.
Oh, God.
I know.
I thought we were done.
When we return, that's in the budget bill, too?
Mm.
Did anybody read this thing? Anybody? We'll kick that around when we return. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got baseball coming up a little bit later on today. The Brewers hosting the Dodgers, rather. The game starts at our broadcast starts at 12:35.
We beat them again.
I know.
The world champion Dodgers.
Are you just over the moon?
I love Shohei Ohtani, but I love the Brewers more. And my goodness, I was a little nervous about yesterday's game just because in the history of the Brewers, it always seems to be we trounce a team, and then the next day they come back and shellack us.
Yeah.
And we won. It was 3-1.
Good game.
It's a good game. That's actually a more exciting game, in my opinion, than a 9-1 game.
Yeah.
But, woo!
Yeah. So, woohoo! We're all tingly. If you would like to listen to the game, you do have to listen on terrestrial radio. You can catch it on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward.
To go back earlier, we were talking about donating blood and the good of donating blood in state, even though Texas is in Texas.
Right.
Cassandra on the live stream, who is also a nurse, said that if you donate blood in Wisconsin, it takes the pressure off other blood banks. So the more you provide for this state, the less that other states have to share with each other.
Exactly.
So thank you very much for it. I was trying to think of an answer there, and I didn't want to say it out loud because I'm like, I don't know if that's true. But thank you for confirming that, Cassandra.
Coming up after the 9:30 news, Megan Kling is going to be joining us. She had complications in her latest pregnancy and had to leave the state in order to get the health care that she needed. Mm-hmm. She's been very, very gracious in talking about it. She's appeared in articles in the Journal Sentinel and the Wisconsin Examiner and I believe the New York Times. She is going to be joining us after the 9:30 news to talk about her experience and what she has heard from people since she has been brave enough. I think it's very brave to come forward and talk about something like this.
Yes, absolutely.
So that is on the way. Right now, though, the big budget bill is just full of all kinds of surprises, Greg. Nobody knows what's in it.
It's almost like some of them don't even read it.
Or even care what's in it. This is from Forbes magazine, that really widely left publication. Forbes magazine says how Trump's bill makes it easier for the rich to buy their personal jets.
Hold on. Hold on. Jay, I need to write this down.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah,
Trump's bill makes it easier for the wealthy to buy a personal jet.
Awesome.
Isn't that nice? A little discussed portion of the Trump beautiful blob of a bill hands a lucrative break to ultra wealthy Americans in the form of a tax policy to buy a private jet. Bonus depreciation for your business expenses was originally part of the Tax Cut Act in 2017. It got phased down. It was permanently set to expire by 2027. However, they've decided that you can actually, if you buy a $10 million plane, you can now use that $10 million deduction in the same year. It used to be spread out across multiple years. But now you can buy your $10 million plane and deduct it the same year, so it's a wash. Matthew Baer, managing director of aviation at an Oklahoma-based bank, says for someone interested in buying a jet, whether new or used, this is a very big deal.
Yeah.
This is an example of friendly oligarch rules. Says Chuck Collins, the director of the Program on Inequality and the Common Good for a think tank. He describes this as a massive tax break for billionaires and centimillionaires from the private jet lobby. $378 billion. That is how much the permanent establishment of this 100% bonus depreciation will cost taxpayers over 10 years.
Wait, say that number one more time.
$378 billion
yep.
is how much making this permanent will cost taxpayers over the course of 10 years. What a great thing.
What a big, beautiful bill that was.
I can't tell you the number of friends I have who they're just going to be having a celebratory drink. Maybe now they can get two.
I was going to say, with the money they're going to be saving, they're going to be able to buy two drinks. Who knows? I
mean, that's just great. And the other thing that caught Chuck Grassley by surprise, which I don't know is that big of a surprise. He's like 900 years old.
Retire.
Bill introduced to combat anti-gambling measure, also in the big budget bill. They want to restore a gambler's ability to deduct 100% of their losses on their annual tax filings. In the budget bill, it was reduced to 90%. They want it back at 100%. And Chuck Grassley was asked about it, and he said, is that in there? I didn't know that was in there.
If anyone can hear us in Iowa, You can do better.
You
No, I would say you deserve better. I'm sorry.
You deserve better.
You deserve better. Let me put it that way. You deserve better.
And we don't have a lot of time to get into this, but we mentioned it briefly. We will talk about it later in the week. The IRS now says it will allow houses of worship to endorse candidates for political office without losing their tax-exempt status. I know they've been doing this.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Not all of them.
No,
many of them.
No.
So, yeah. You're all good to go. Okay. News is coming up next, and then Megan Kling will be joining us. Please stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calby on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She has shared her story in the Wisconsin Examiner, in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, in the New York Times, and we are so delighted and grateful to be joined by her now. Megan Kling is here. Good morning, Megan. Thanks for being here. How are you?
Oh.
Megan, can you hear me?
Looks like we might be having a little bit of...
She just froze.
Okay.
Megan had mentioned when we were setting this up that she might have a... Megan, are you there?
Hold on.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes. Can you hear us?
I can hear you now.
There we go.
If that happens again, I'm going to call in, okay?
Perfect. That's perfect. Absolutely. Well, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Technology is one of those things. It's just, it's a thing. So anyway, thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us and for sharing your story, because I think it is important. And especially when I've read through all of these stories, you are not the only woman who has experienced this. You are not the only woman who is experiencing this. So if you wouldn't mind to take us through your story and what happened with your pregnancy.
Yeah. So first off, I'd like to say, you know, I've been born and raised in Wisconsin, same as my husband. We have two beautiful little daughters, and we've always imagined having three children. And when we got pregnant in the summer of 2023, we didn't expect it to be any different from our prior two pregnancies, which were very normal and healthy.
Right.
Went through the routine of maternal prenatal checkups, and it wasn't until the 20-week ultrasound that we were alarmed that something was wrong. So I live in rural Western Wisconsin. I went to my local rural hospital, and I happened to be over 21 weeks pregnant at the time. And after that ultrasound, my doctor, who I trust very much, came into the doctor's office and shared with me that something was very wrong, that there was little to no amniotic fluid. And with their ultrasound equipment, they could not make a confirmed diagnosis, but it was bad. And I was somewhat in shock. I wasn't prepared to ask a lot more questions. And at that time, just was clinging on to hope,
sure,
right? That
sure.
We wouldn't get the most devastating news that I felt like my doctor was somewhat preparing me to get. We had to be referred to a larger hospital, which again takes time to get that appointment with maternal fetal medicine. She referred me to La Crosse as well as Rochester, Minnesota. And in my mind, if there's any surgery or any treatment that my baby is going to need, Rochester is the best place to be.
Right.
So that's where that was in my mind. We were able to get into La Crosse about 4 days later. By that time, I was 22 weeks pregnant, and my husband and I, in tears, received the most devastating news that a pregnant person could receive, and that was that our baby was non-viable. He had a diagnosis called bilateral renal agenesis. He had developed with no kidneys and no bladder, and he also had brain and heart abnormalities seen. With this condition, because the amniotic fluid is made up primarily of the baby's urine by the second trimester, that was the reason there was no amniotic fluid, because his urinary tract was not operating. And when that occurs in pregnancy, that amniotic fluid is there to help the babies develop their lungs, so his lungs would never develop. And it's also there for protection, to help him move around in the womb.
Right.
Without that amniotic fluid, these babies are born with bone deformities because the pressure the mother's body puts on her womb forces the baby's bones to bend as they grow inside of you. And so you can imagine, I am picturing what quality of life my baby is going to have, even as he's growing inside of me. When we received that diagnosis, I asked my doctor what our options were.
Sure.
And she, of course, proceeded to tell me, you know, I'm still healthy. I could continue the pregnancy if I choose. And I believe I cut her off and said, I cannot carry a baby another 4 months knowing he is going to die. It was not in my best physical wellness health. It was not in my best interest of my mental health.
Seriously.
I have a career. I've got two little girls I have to go home and be a mom to. And I didn't believe carrying that baby was in my own baby's best interest because it would ultimately prolong suffering for all of us. But because that was in November of 2023, we were in a state of the 1849 complete ban on abortion.
Was still in effect here in Wisconsin. Yep.
Yep. And so I had no options in my situation to make any choice at all.
I just want to stop you for 1 second because, again, because of the law in Wisconsin at that point in your pregnancy, here in Wisconsin, you had no choices except to carry it to term, correct?
Correct.
That was it. And if anyone is just joining us, by the way, I just want to let people know who we're talking to. Megan Kling is our guest. We will have links in our show notes. She has appeared in several articles in the Journal Sentinel, the Wisconsin Examiner, the New York Times, talking about her experience with her third pregnancy. So continue, Megan.
So we had kept our appointment that we had made at Rochester, Minnesota, which was ultimately 10 days out from our original appointment at my local rural hospital. So by the time we were able to get into Rochester, Minnesota, I was 23 weeks and 1 day pregnant. And my choice was to be induced and deliver my baby naturally. There's no right choice in that situation, but that's what I felt was right for me.
Yep.
And the healthcare that I wanted to choose. And so they were able to give us a second opinion. They confirmed the diagnosis without a doubt because my husband and I just needed to know that there was no chance. And, they induced me after that second opinion, and I was able to deliver our first baby boy the next morning at 23 weeks and 2 days gestation. They did not think he would survive delivery, but they prepared us in case he did. And he was ultimately born with a beating heart. And so they cleaned him up and they handed him to us. And we were able to hold and love our baby boy for about an hour until he passed away in our arms.
We're so sorry for your loss, Megan, you and your husband and your family. And I cannot imagine being in such a horrific situation with such, for one thing, to not be able to get the healthcare you need in the state in which you live is horrible. It's just horrible. And then I'm so sorry for your experience. And I am so grateful for your willingness to talk about this because you must have heard now from all kinds of women who have been in similar situations to yours.
Yeah, I've been able to be connected with women across the country who have experienced just devastating pregnancy complications in their journey to build their families just like we were. And for all of us that are sharing and speaking out, there's a whole lot of women that are experiencing the same tragedy that just aren't to a point where they're willing to share
Sure.
their trauma publicly yet.
Or they're afraid of the backlash, and we'll get to that in a minute, because I'm sure that's a component of this, tragically.
And I think, Megan, one of the important things, too, it's wonderful to hear these stories because it's telling the narrative that's getting lost by some who just want to paint access to this healthcare as nothing more than birth control, which is offensive and disgusting. And we need to hear from people such as yourself and others saying, no, you are a mother who wanted more children. You and your husband wanted to grow your family. This was a situation that happened. It is devastating, but it does happen. Therefore, you need the treatment, the access,
the healthcare
that is necessary to make sure that also your body isn't damaged by what could happen in these pregnancies. So again, there's not a question, and I'm holding back tears right now because I just want to thank you for being here because it's important. Thank you.
You mentioned in some of the articles, and again, we will put these in our show notes so you can read them yourself. In the New York Times article, they speak to several other women who also went through some situations similar to yours, Megan. And several of these women had said they think it's important now to use the word abortion because that's what it is. This is the medical term for it. A spontaneous miscarriage in medical terminology is an abortion. And there has been this effort on one side to dance around that. I have heard Republican politicians say abortion is not healthcare. No pregnancy should need an abortion. I have heard male politicians say that. I can't imagine how you feel when you hear, especially men, say something like that.
Yeah, and to be honest, you know, my husband and I had a really hard time using the word abortion when we experienced our termination. Because there's a stigma around it.
There is, absolutely.
It is specifically for unwanted pregnancies, irresponsible women, and that was not our situation whatsoever. We were married. We were growing our family. This was a very much loved, wanted baby.
Right.
And yet, we who never thought we would choose abortion were put in an impossible situation with no good outcome where that choosing abortion was the best choice for us at the time.
Megan Kling is our guest. We are talking about her experience with a pregnancy in which tragically she lost her very much wanted son. And the fact at that point in time, Wisconsin was still under the 1849 ban. So in order to get the health care that you needed, you had to leave the state. You had to go to Minnesota. Obviously, the situation is different now in Wisconsin on the ground. That has changed. But there are still women all over this country who are in similar situations to yours. And many of them, we had a listener call in to a different show, to Todd Alba's show, and say, well, it's not like anyone is making women carry these babies when they're dead. They are. This is tragically the horrific reality of what women across the country, depending upon where you live, are dealing with. It is. We're going to continue with Megan Kling, and continue this conversation. It's important to talk about. I want to hear what you have heard after your bravery in coming forward to share your experience. Our conversation continues on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is Megan Kling. She is here to share her experience with complications in her third pregnancy. She ultimately ended up leaving the state in order to get the health care that she needed. You made an important point, Megan, during the break about even though the 1849 ban is no longer in effect here in Wisconsin, that would have still meant that you would have had to leave the state to get the care you needed because of the 23-week ban, right?
Well, there's still some lack of clarity there. So many people refer to Wisconsin having a 20-week ban. I believe what the law technically says is 20 weeks post-fertilization, which is technically more like 22 weeks, but nobody measures pregnancy post likely fertilization.
Right.
So hospitals or doctors are always going to be a little bit more hesitant.
They're going to hedge.
So yeah. They're going to hedge it right at 20 weeks.
Yep.
So for most women who receive that 20-week ultrasound, if there is any severe complication or diagnosis like we received, it's too late already.
You have to leave the state.
Correct.
Yes. Megan, were you aware before you got this diagnosis that this was the situation on the ground in Wisconsin? Did you know at that point that you were going to have to go someplace else?
I think I was a little naive. I understood what Roe v. Wade being overturned meant. I understood that Wisconsin had no exceptions to abortion. However, I was naive to all of the numerous pregnancy complications that can occur that would lead to an abortion for medical reasons. And so even though I understood the atmosphere of where Wisconsin was at, I did not think that I, as a married woman trying to grow my family, I didn't think it was going to affect me. And I was very wrong for being that naive.
But you're not alone. And you're not alone. There are a lot of women, I think. And again, you had two perfectly fine pregnancies where nothing went wrong. So I can see why would you even let that cross your brain if that hadn't been your experience up to that point?
I just also think it goes back to what we were saying earlier, is that we equate abortion to a certain type of person, which is never the case. There's always different stories, but we are becoming more educated throughout these past few years on what this does and what this impacts on the women who are having the children, the families it affects, us. Even as, you know, Dr. Lyerly has said, this affects all of us, regardless of your station in life. And it's important for us to know this. So again, Megan, thank you for coming here and sharing your story. And we ask those listening to share this story with other people, because it's just very easy to say, well, you know, of course I support abortion access, but what do you know about it? You need to know, before you advocate and endorse, you must know. So it's important to hear these stories. We must hear more of these stories.
Again, we've mentioned, Megan, that you've been in the Journal Sentinel and the Wisconsin Examiner, even the New York Times. What have you heard from folks since? Because I think that's very brave. It takes a lot of courage to come forth like this and be honest and open about it. It does.
I would say I have had overwhelming positive support from people, from community members, family, strangers, just thanking me for speaking up and helping them understand that just a typical Midwest mom can be affected by abortion bans. And it doesn't matter how you feel on the topic. Anyone can be affected, whether you think so or not. But it is very controversial, and it's been very vulnerable to share such a tragedy publicly.
Yep.
You open yourself up, and there always is going to be some negativity out there. And I think a majority of that comes from either an extreme religious side or those that just don't like me sharing my story because it doesn't fit the stigma that they believe abortion to be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. You're not the person they want to demonize. You're not the right person to demonize.
I also think, you know, telling this story for Midwesterners especially pokes at our convenience and comfortability. Like, well, you don't have to share it with everybody. Talk about it with your friends and say, you know, blah, blah, like whatever the excuse is. But really it comes to you standing up and exposing yourself and being vulnerable, and other people just have to deal with that. And if it makes them feel uncomfortable, I'm sorry for them, but we need to hear this.
It's about the reality of what's happening on the ground. It is. It's just, that's what it is about. How is your husband? How are your girls? How are you right now?
Right now I'm good. I was lucky enough to find access to a therapist that specializes in infant loss. And after giving birth to a baby who died in our arms, I can't tell you how hard that was to work through that grief and then the anger that compounded from being shamed away from my home state in order to do what I knew was right for me. But we're doing good. I mean, it was a fork in the road and we chose to be resilient, and I could not have it be just a sad story that we experienced. And so I chose to share and I chose to speak up in hopes that, you know, I can cause just find a little bit of good from this horrible thing we went through.
Megan Kling, thank you so very, very much for joining us this morning. All the best to you and your husband and your girls. Take care of yourself. Be strong. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.